Jackson, W266, DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Tom Foti in Washington. For a third day and after 11 votes and still no House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, the Capitol Hill action moved behind the scenes. Congressional correspondent Nicole Killian.
Some of McCarthy's backers feel the party's being taken hostage by the demands of a few. As negotiations took place behind closed doors, far-right members appeared unmoved.
It is not happening. And as it's been said, we need to get to a point where we start evaluating what life after Kevin McCarthy looks like.
Sure. And at least one dissenter, Florida's Matt Gaetz, cast his vote for the former president.
Donald John Trump.
If there is an agreement to break this Republican House deadlock today, it is going to come on the second anniversary of the January 6th riot at the Capitol by Trump followers. Correspondent Steve Dorsey looks back.
The deadly attack shut down the U.S. Capitol building, prompting lawmakers, their staff, and journalists to evacuate to safety.
Attention, a curfew is in effect.
Since then, the Justice Department has prosecuted hundreds of people involved. Meanwhile, Capitol Police say they've made more than 100 security improvements.
Next to California, which has been getting huge amounts of rain coming in from the Pacific and is about to get some more. Correspondent Jonathan Vigliotti is there.
Already swollen rivers, now overflowing, while raging creeks are prompting numerous rescues. Just too much rain on already saturated ground. San Francisco normally gets 4.5 inches of rain for the entire month of January. They've nearly tripled that amount in less than a week.
In Enoch, Utah, 245 miles south of Salt Lake City, investigators think the deaths of 8 family members were due to murder or suicide.
The small town has been shaken. Many knew the Haight family, including Mayor Jeffrey Chest.
The Haights were my neighbors. The youngest children played in my yard with my sons.
2 weeks ago, Haight's wife filed for divorce.
Correspondent Steve Futterman. Doctors in Cincinnati had encouraging news about Buffalo Bills safety Damar Hamlin, saying he has started to communicate with his family and health personnel after going into cardiac arrest on the field during Monday night's NFL game. Bills quarterback Josh Allen.
You love hearing that response, that the first thing on his mind wasn't, you know, poor me. It was, how are my teammates doing? Did we win this game? And that's powerful in itself.
About the game, it was stopped early. It will not be made up. Trying to tackle the controversial southern border problem, President Biden says the U.S. is going to begin turning away Cubans, Haitians, and Nicaraguans who cross the border illegally from Mexico. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Get it, slip it, cuff it, check it. Talk to doctor now and share it.
I get it, slip it, cuff it, check it twice a day.
I get it, slip it, cuff it, check it in the morning and before dinner.
I get it, slip it, cuff it, check it, and share it with my doctor. Nearly 1 in 2 U.S. adults have high blood pressure. That's why it's important to self-monitor your blood pressure in 4 easy-to-remember steps. It starts with a monitor.
Now that I know my blood pressure numbers, I talked with my doctor. We're getting those numbers down.
Get it, slip it, cuff it, check it. Talk to doctor now and share it.
be next to talk to your doctor about your blood pressure numbers. Get down with your blood pressure. Self-monitoring is power. Learn more at manageyourbp.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Heart Association, and the American Medical Association. In partnership with the Office of Minority Health and Health Resources and Services Administration.
Let's be honest. The National Symphony may not be in his future, but he wanted to try violin. So you said yes because you love him. And if you love him that much, love him enough to make sure he's buckled up and in the back seat. Find out more about keeping your kids safe in your vehicle at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the second hour of our program. On the line with us is American war correspondent, veteran war correspondent, Phil Itner. He's in Kyiv, Ukraine, via YouTube and video blog or whatever it is, the magic of the internet. His Twitter handle, if you want to follow him on Twitter, is Philip Itner. It's spelled PHILIPITTNER, with the little at sign in the front of it. And Phil, welcome back. It's been 2 weeks since we
talked. Thank you, Tom. It's been a while. Yeah, a lot's happened.
We took a week off for the holidays, and sure. I know that you were there during the Russian assault. Well, I mean, you've been there through the whole thing, right? But the Russian assault on New Year's Eve, I understand, was particularly grotesque. You want to tell us about that?
Yeah, and horrifying and terrifying. I mean, and that was the intent, to terrify. There was no military objective to what was done on New Year's Eve. And Tom, you have to understand that in the former Soviet space, New Year's Eve is not kind of like how we celebrate New Year's in the West, because during the entire period of the Soviet Union, they tried to lump everything that is in the holidays that is religious onto New Year's Eve. Because, of course, the communist regime was secular. So for many, many people, the highlight of the year is New Year's Eve. That is the biggest celebration of the year. And the Russians know it just as well as anybody else in the former Soviet space. And to choose that day of all days to have a sustained, regular attack on the civilian population, not even the infrastructure. I myself was under fire on New Year's Day. New Year's Eve, rather, sorry. Starting in the very early hours of the morning, drones were coming in regularly. Anti-aircraft fire was going off regularly, much more sustained. Every 20 minutes, maybe every 90 minutes, those were kind of the intervals. But the munitions that were coming in, either they were cruise missiles or they were drones, mostly drones. They were coming into a civilian part of Kyiv, the very center of the city. There is no electrical substations here of note. There's no power plant here. Even if you were to argue that those are legitimate targets because they affect command and control or what have you, none of that was the case on Saturday. I have been attacked by the Russians before in Odessa. They used a hypersonic missile while I was there after the Ukrainians had a successful attack on an oil rig platform that was owned by the Russians. They sent a symbolic attack with a hypersonic missile, but I have never been through anything like what I went through on New Year's Eve. It was purposeful. And the only intent was to terrify the population. It was an act of terrorism.
So how did the population respond to this? What did you hear as you were walking around the streets of Kyiv, in the following days?
Well, being the darn fool that I am, of course, I have the responsibility of actually covering these things. So I did not myself go into the air raid shelters, but I was aware of what was happening. And I saw people streaming into the underground areas to get in into shelters. I've subsequently seen photos of what it was like, people singing, people doing, you know, impromptu New Year's Eve celebrations. Suddenly, you know, champagne bottles were being popped with new friends who just happened to be in the air raid shelter with them. For myself, I stayed out because I wanted to photograph it. I wanted to document it. So, but in the subsequent days, what I have heard from the Ukrainian people about the attack on New Year's Eve is absolute anger, just deep-seated anger, because they knew the Russians and the Ukrainians speak a similar language because they have been tied together for centuries. And so not only do they both speak, the Slavic languages that are so easily mixed between Russian and Ukrainian, but of course most Ukrainians do speak fluent Russian. They were communicating amongst themselves about how, you know, what you're doing is attacking us on the biggest day of the year, and we know why you're doing it. You're not doing it for a tactical reason. You're not doing it for a military reason. You're not even trying to deprive us of heating or electricity. You are sending a message that we will attack you on the most important holiday of the year, and we know what it means, and it's a communication saying we don't care about you. We will make you, we will terrorize you, we will intimidate you, we will attack you for no good reason except to make you bow to the power of Moscow. And the reaction here has been the complete opposite. They are furious. There's a lot of anger about what happened on New Year's Eve. Currently, there is apparently a ceasefire being proposed by Vladimir Putin for Orthodox, Eastern Orthodox Christmas, 36 hours cessation of hostilities that has been announced from the Russian side. And the Ukrainian side has already started to say, look, we know what you did on New Year's, and you want us to respect your religious holiday, your Eastern Orthodox holiday, which, by the way, many Ukrainians are trying to break away from the Russian Orthodox Church.
Right. That's January 6th.
But they said it is. It will be January 6th.
Yeah.
No, sorry, January 7th. Sorry.
Okay. Thank you. The
ceasefire will begin on the 6th. According to the Russians, this is a unilateral Russian decision that the Ukrainians have yet to recognize. And the reason I bring it up is because of this very point, is that if you were going to attack us on this day, which we all in the post-Soviet space recognize as one of the most important days of the year, then we're not sure whether or not you're being, you know, honest and in your intentions of declaring a ceasefire. Now, they'll certainly, I suspect, take it. The Ukrainians will be happy not to be shot at for 36 hours during that Eastern Orthodox holiday. But there's a certain amount of resentment in that, oh, now you're going to recognize your holiday, but this very important holiday we just went through, New Year's Eve, you violated by attacking us. So the reaction to what happened on New Year's Eve and the continued reaction of the people here as we're ending the holiday season, this is really the last. There is a Julian calendar, which the Eastern Orthodox observe. There is also another holiday after Christmas, but it's minor. So we're really wrapping up the holiday season. And as we wrap it up, the sense of anger and animosity and frustration and also defiance by the Ukrainian people, I have not witnessed it diminishing in the least.
I'm guessing there would also be a concern that the Russians, if a ceasefire was observed by both sides, would exploit that ceasefire and use that opportunity to move troops and supplies in ways that they might not do if they thought they might come under fire.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing about it, is that, you know, Russia and Ukraine have really been at war since 2014 and the initial seizure of Donbass and Crimea. Right. The Ukrainians know their enemy very, very well. And the Russians have repeatedly broken ceasefires, broken truces, said they weren't going to do anything. And then, of course, we find out later that really what they were doing is taking a breather to reorganize their attack posture. There's very little trust from the Ukrainian side when it comes to what the Russians do, and that's born out of continued violations that the Russians have done. Not to say that the Ukrainians have been, choir boys. This is a war. And, I would feel comfortable in saying that larger proportion of violations of ceasefires, treaties, agreements, what have you, has been on the Russian side of the equation.
Right. And if there is a violation of this ceasefire by the Ukrainians, that will probably be immediately exploited by the Russians, A, for military purposes, and B, for propaganda. Exactly.
Oh, the propaganda-wise, the Russians are almost taunting the Ukrainians into attacking on Orthodox Christmas, because if they do, they can turn around to their population and see what we're dealing with here.
Right.
These are unreasonable people. We gave them a ceasefire, and they attacked us on our ceasefire.
Right. It's
all disingenuous. It's really meant to gain an advantage.
Sure.
During this holiday period. So.
We're talking with Phil Itner, the American veteran war correspondent, who has been in Kyiv, Ukraine through this entire thing and is still there reporting to us live from there. Phil, I'm going to hit a break here that I can't control in a minute and a half or so.
I'm glad to see you in 2023.
Well, thank you. We still have about a minute and a half.
Sure.
I was just wondering if there's other things that you wanted to share with us that, it's been, like I said, 2 weeks since we talked.
The other major event that we saw was an attack on a barracks out in Donbass, in Donetsk. That was, for some reason, the Russians decided to quarter these new conscripts that they have. We don't know exactly how many, but it's comfortably in the hundreds. They were billeted at a facility that was either adjacent or directly connected to where they were also storing munitions. So when a HIMARS missile came in and struck this facility, it was a massive explosion. And even the Russians themselves, now they're downplaying it, saying it's around 100 that were killed. But again, sourcing from Russia is dubious at best. It was a huge blow in that they had to even admit it themselves. And then as we're finishing up here is also I urge anybody who's interested in seeing kind of how bizarre things have gotten within Russia, within Moscow, that on the first channel there, you can very easily search for it on YouTube. The New Year celebrations that was broadcast nationwide within Russia is almost like cabaret. It's a very bizarre, surreal event where they're desperately trying to avoid that they're at war, but still recognize that they're at war. But of course, they're the heroes of the narrative, and it's bizarre kitsch and defiance with this gallows humor. It's garish.
Projecting normalcy.
Yeah, trying to project normalcy. And this is a New Year's like any other. We're going to have dancing. We're going to have champagne, bubbles, and there happen to be soldiers here who we will venerate and all the rest of it. And we'll also, insult and defy the West, of course, because that's their narrative, that the West is the aggressor here. It's very surreal. It's very bizarre. I recommend people to take a look at it because it gives you an insight into how kind of bizarre the state of mind is in Russia.
Well, thank you, Phil Itner, PHILIPITTNER on Twitter. Phil, thanks so much for dropping
by. Thank you, Tom. Always a pleasure. Yep. Anytime.
And I look forward to talking to you next week. Thank you. We'll be right back.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Remarkable. So what happens if they never pick a speaker? Well, at least some people are arguing it might be a good thing. I'll tell you about that after the break.
Hey, Pack Rat. Yeah, you. Are you moving cross-country and you just don't know who to call? Call us right now. Listen, you've probably seen one of our containers in your neighborhood. But did you know that we can help you move anywhere in the United States? It's real simple. We'll drop a container off at the location you tell us to bring it to. You pack up your valuable possessions at your leisure. They stay safe right in your home. And when you're ready, call us. We'll come and pick up the container and give you a scheduled date of when your furniture and the other possessions
options will be at your new home. So if you're moving across country or across town, be a pack rat. Join the pack rat family. Call pack rat right now for your free quote. See y'all later, pack rats.
800-334-5468. 800-334-5468. 800-334-5468. That's 800-334-5468.
What can the wisdom of the 19th century provide for you? Turn back the clock with White House correspondent Ellen Ratner and renowned spiritualist Ann Gaiman to find out. In the new book, Self-Empowerment, 9 Things the 19th Century Can Teach Us About Living in the 21st, they shed light on history's greatest spiritual minds. Take a journey into history and healing with the masters of the 19th century as your guide. Self-Empowerment, 9 Things the 19th Century Can Teach Us About Living in the 21st, available through Changing Lives Press at selfempowermentbook.com.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a... goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
In the war-torn areas of Southern Sudan, one goat can make the difference between life and death. Visit goatsfortheoldgoat.org.
What can the wisdom of the 19th century provide for you? Turn back the clock with White House correspondent Ellen Ratner and renowned spiritualist Ann Gaiman to find out. In the new book, Self-Empowerment, 9 Things the 19th Century Can Teach Us About Living in the 21st, they shed light on history's greatest spiritual minds. Take a journey into history and healing with the masters of the 19th century as your guide. Self-Empowerment, 9 Things the 19th Century Can Teach Us About Living in the 21st, available through Changing Lives Press at selfempowermentbook.com.
One goat can make the difference between nourishment and hunger. One goat can make the difference between poverty and sustained income. In the war-torn areas of Southern Sudan, one goat can make the difference between life and death. Find out how you can help. Visit goatsfortheoldgoat.org. That's goats, F-O-R, theoldgoat.org. Fighting hunger, one goat at a time.
Attention floor buyers. The 6th annual fall flooring yard sale is going on now at Lumber Liquidators. Get high quality flooring at low yard sale prices, like Woodlook waterproof floors from just 39 cents. All Dream Home X2O water resistant laminate is on sale. Prefinished hardwood is starting at $149. Get more deals in store while supplies last. Plus special project financing and professional installation with Install Plus. Hurry, visit LumberLiquidators.com to find the Lumber Liquidators store near you today.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. Choosing the right mortgage lender involves much more than just a rate. Quicken Loans has earned 11 J.D. Power Awards for client satisfaction. And we invented Rocket Mortgage, a simpler, hassle-free way to get a mortgage completely online. No one else has anything like it. So choose Quicken Loans, America's number one online lender. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Equal housing lender, NMLS number 3030.
Change starts with you. You can be calling your Democratic or Republican representatives to let them know what you think by calling 202-224-3121. It's the Capitol switchboard. It'll get you right through to them. Whether you're a history buff, a foodie, or you just want to relax and take in the sights, American Cruise Lines has a little something special for everyone. Choose to explore the mighty Mississippi River with American Cruise Lines. On this amazing journey, you'll discover Civil War history you've only read about, savor exquisite Cajun cuisine in New Orleans, and experience the ultimate roots of rock and roll in Memphis. Or you can choose to explore the beautiful Columbia and Snake Rivers. You'll visit the scenic natural landscapes of Multnomah Falls, Mount St. Helens, and the incredible Columbia River Gorge as you trace the historic steps of Lewis and Clark. Come aboard the newest fleet of American River boats. Relax on your private balcony as the crew provides the highest level of personalized service. I have always loved cruising as my absolutely favorite way to vacation because your hotel goes with you. You go from city to city, place to place, you know, and you never have to pack and unpack. Request your free cruise guide today at AmericanCruiseLines.com. That's AmericanCruiseLines.com.
24 minutes past the hour. So what happens if the Republicans never pick a speaker? I mean, you know, it's an interesting question. David Neer, who's a staff writer for DailyKos.com, put a piece up yesterday. It's titled, "What Happens If Republicans Never Pick a Speaker?" It would be good news, actually, he writes. And he says, after, you know, this would actually be a good thing for the country. And he says, you'll recall that just before Christmas, Congress passed its annual spending bill, which will keep the government funded all the way to October 1st. And, you know, the only thing he says that we have to really concern ourselves with is the debt ceiling, which we will hit sometime this summer. And he suggests that, you know, the president could get around the debt ceiling by using the modern monetary theory strategy of issuing a platinum coin worth $1 trillion or worth $10 trillion or whatever. I think that the way to get around the debt ceiling for the Biden administration, a much more straightforward way, would be to invoke, I believe it's the 14th Amendment. In fact, I believe it's the fifth article of the 14th Amendment, but I'd have to go back and look. I should have looked it up before I started the segment, which says that the full faith and credit of the United States shall not be challenged. I'm paraphrasing from memory, and that isn't the exact wording, but it's damn close. And challenging that is the debt ceiling. The debt ceiling was legislation that was passed back in the 1950s, and it was not passed to give Republicans a club to beat Democrats over the head with. This came out of World War II. We had borrowed an enormous amount of money for World War II. In fact, in the two or three years immediately following World War II, our national debt as a percentage of our GDP was larger than it is today, or in the neighborhood of where it is today. It was 122%, as I recall, of GDP. So it was larger than it is today. We're just a little over 100% of GDP now. And the debt ceiling was put into place by way of saying, okay, Congress, if you're going to do this again, you've got to have a good reason. And yeah, okay. But the debt ceiling requirement, I believe, is in complete violation of that constitutional amendment that says that you cannot challenge the full faith and credit of the United States. Because if you hit the debt ceiling and you shut down the government and you fail to make payments on treasuries, that is the exact thing that is happening there. So anyhow, David Neer is saying, don't worry, at least until October. And I'm agreeing. What say you? I'll pick up your calls on the other side of the break. It's 27 minutes past the hour.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
Media for the sane among us. Yes, there are still some of us around, and we're still here. We'll be right back. If you choose to believe Google, then all you need to do to surf the internet privately is turn on incognito mode in your browser. And we're supposed to trust big tech with solutions to our online privacy, right? Well, wrong. It doesn't matter what browser mode you use or how often you clear your browsing history, your internet service provider, your ISP, can see every single website you've ever visited, and they can even sell your data to advertisers. That's why I use ExpressVPN to keep my online data secure and private. I never go online without ExpressVPN, because they make sure my ISP and third-party trackers can't see my online activity and location. They do that by rerouting my connection through a secure, encrypted server. So protect your online activity today with the VPN that I trust to keep me private. ExpressVPN is also the fastest and most trusted VPN on the market. That's why they're rated the number one VPN by Business Insider. Visit expressvpn.com/Tom, T-H-O-M, and you can get an extra 3 months free with a one-year package. That's expressvpn.com/Tom to learn more.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 877
WAUK 540 AM. New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Ahead of today's midday resumption of the effort to get himself elected Speaker of the House, Republican leader Kevin McCarthy reacted to the 11th vote denying him that this way.
It's better that we go through this process right now so we can achieve the things we want to achieve for the American public, what our commitment was. So if this takes a little longer and it doesn't meet your deadline, that's okay.
Today's Capitol Hill action will be on the anniversary of the pro-Trump riot of January 6, 2 years ago.
Congressional investigations culminated with a scathing report from a Democratic-led House committee blaming Trump and recommending he be charged.
Correspondent Steve Dorsey. What's ahead for seriously drenched California as the latest atmospheric river moves inland?
There's very little relief in sight. Another 12 inches of rain anticipated in Northern California. Flash flooding and mudslides. Then you see 5 to 6 feet of snow in the Sierra Nevada, as well as an avalanche danger.
Forecaster Mike Bettis at the Weather Channel. CBS News Brief. I'm Tom Foti.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Dana Perry. Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
It is the Monday after the first Packers game, and I think everyone right now is licking their wounds.
But I do love that you're leading with The Bears Still Suck as the intro song. I mean, we're already on to week two.
Why are we not good at the season opener?
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. What's in mind of Gene of Eau Claire?
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
What's in mind of Andrew of Detroit?
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 AM 101 FM, The Shaw.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and whatever. Just don't text and drive. Visit stoptextsstoprex.org. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Shh.
Share the Tom Hartman program with your friends. We're available on Sirius XM, Free Speech TV, Pacifica, commercial stations nationwide, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, on the Tom Hartman app, and you can even tell your smart speaker to listen to the Tom Hartman program. Do you know the importance of a high-protein diet for your dog? Dogs are omnivores, and it's imperative that they get enough protein in every meal. Omnivores eat all kinds of different things, and dogs need all kinds of different foods in their diet. Many of your mass-produced dog foods, especially the dry dog foods, may lack the essential protein and healthy fats that your dog needs for optimal health. Introducing Dynavite's Meal Booster, a freeze-dried meal topper that is loaded with protein and omegas. Just sprinkle it on top of your pet's food for a delicious taste packed with essential nutrients that can help support a healthy skin and coat, gut health, and the immune system. These toppers helped our dogs Blue and Chewy get all the nutrients they need to be healthier and full of life. Dynavite is so confident that your pet will benefit from their products the way our pets did, they offer a 90-day risk-free trial on your first purchase, so you have nothing to lose. Go to Dynavite.com today. That's D-I-N-O-V-I-T-E.com, Dynavite.com. Terms apply. See the site for details. Welcome back. 35 minutes past the hour. Kevin McCarthy has lost again. 19 votes this time for Mr. Donalds. One voted others, and one voted present. So he lost 21 votes this time. He's down to 201 votes. And he's given them, he's offered them basically everything they've asked for. So what's his new strategy going to be? I mean, was this his last olive branch? By the way, I wanted to add something to my rant in the previous half, just as we hit the break on the other end. I was talking about David Neer's piece in Daily Kos about how, you know, we really don't need the House to be in session, at least until October. The two things that I've heard that kind of defy that argue, no, this is actually a crisis and we do need a speaker because we do need the House of Representatives to be sworn in. Actually, three. And I think that they're all reasonable. These are good arguments. The one is the strongest argument, and I'm not hearing that one in the media, but it's an argument that I would make, which is that if something international were to happen that would require a declaration of war by the United States or some similar major action by the United States, if something were to happen, say, in Taiwan or in Ukraine, or elsewhere, something that we just can't even anticipate right now, you need a House of Representatives to be there and functioning. You can't just say, oh, my God, what are we going to do, number one. Number two, without a House, we literally don't have a House of Representatives right now. And without a House, there is no system for paying the people who work for the House of Representatives. Now, if the members of Congress themselves don't get paid, you know, we can argue whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. But there's a lot of staffers who are hanging on by their teeth. When Louise and I lived in Washington, D.C. for 7 years, we got to know a lot of these people, the people who work for, in particular, you know, I got to know a lot of the people who worked for Bernie Sanders and you know, a few other members of Congress. And, you know, they're good and decent people, and they deserve to get a paycheck. And they deserve to know that their insurance premiums are being paid. And all of that would stop. So that's a problem. And then the third one is the issue of security clearances or briefings. And that one, I'm guessing that there are ways around. But arguably, if somebody is not a member of Congress, then they're not eligible to receive security briefings. And that is particularly consequential for people on military affairs committees and intelligence committees and, you know, things like that. So a bunch of things to consider, and those are the reasons why I'm quite certain we will have a Speaker of the House. I mean, I think David Neer's piece was, I wouldn't call it a throwaway piece, but or tongue-in-cheek or anything like that. I think he was quite serious, but and my endorsement of it is quite serious. But that said, it ain't going to happen. There will be a Speaker of the House. It will happen within probably this week and certainly within the next week and a half. By the end of next week. I would be astonished if we didn't have a speaker by the end of next week. It's just, the question is, who's it going to be? Is it going to be David Duke? I mean, you know, Steve Scalise, he calls himself David Duke without the baggage. He's number two in Republican leadership.
Is it going to be no core Stefanik, Elise Stefanik, the woman who the New York Times profiled last weekend, and pointed out that throughout her entire political career, she's never really stood for anything other than her own power? Or is it going to be Kevin McCarthy, who I think you could say the exact same thing of, you know, throughout his political career, he's never stood for anything other than his own power? Or is it going to be one of the right-wing wackadoodles? I think that's increasingly unlikely. I think that the more that these guys disrupt the process and make Republicans look bad, the more they're getting pushback. Lauren Boebert went on Fox News on, you know, with Sean Hannity last night and was expecting to be, you know, patted on the back and praised for being a great rebel and doing what Donald Trump said, or actually she didn't. She opposed what Donald Trump said. And instead, Sean Hannity just went after her. You're not answering my question. And how? What makes you think you've only got 20 votes? What makes you think it should go your way? And I'm like, I was waiting for Hannity to say something like, you know, don't you understand how democracy works? Of course, he would never say that. But anyhow, so those are, you know, my final thoughts on all those issues. So let's pick up your calls and see what you have to say. Skip in Seattle. Hey, Skip, what's up?
Good morning and Happy New Year.
Thank you. Back at you.
I wish that there was some way when you're giving the statistics here and there about how much goes to welfare and how much goes to the top 1%, if you could cite the sources, because frankly, I don't have the brain power to figure it out how to find those things. And I love to quote you, but then somebody says, well, what's your source?
There's two sources, two things you need to know about. The first is every day when I get off the air, I get off the air here on the West Coast at noon, and I go home, and no later than 1 o'clock, I sit down and I start writing my op-ed for the following day, and I finish that up by 5 o'clock in the afternoon, typically, and then Louise proofreads it, and you know we get it ready to go the next morning, and that piece becomes my opening rant for the next day's show. So if you're quote, and typically that's the most content-rich part of the show. So if you're quoting me from the first half hour of the show, virtually 100% of the time, all you have to do is go to HartmanReport.com and you'll find the article that I was basically reading from or citing, and I always put links to my sources in there. That's number one. Number two, throughout the entire show, Sue Nethercutt, Sue and I have worked together for years and years and years, decades. She's just a wonderful person and a dear friend. And she works with us and she produces our daily newsletter, which is not the Hartman Report newsletter. This is from TomHartman.com. And you go over to TomHartman.com and you can sign up for it there. And you've got to sign up for it, though. It's on the website. And that newsletter, every day, Sue listens to the entire show, and everything that I talk about, literally everything that I talk about, she finds links to. And then every afternoon, about 3 hours after we go off the air, she pushes that newsletter out via, you know, I think it's Constant Contact, so it's an email newsletter. So that will tell you, that'll give you every link to everything I've ever said, basically. And there's an archive of those going back years. Decades.
That'll
over
be
a decade.
A lot easier to channel for you. Yeah. Channel for you accurately. Thanks, Tom. You do a great job. Keep it up.
Thank you, Skip. And that was what you called about?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
You've done a great public service. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Skip. Great to hear from you. Jesse in Portland. Hey, Jesse, what's up?
Hi, Tom. So happy New Year.
Thank you. Back at you.
I was just calling. I was just calling to say. My theory behind what will inevitably be the Speaker of the House.
I'm listening.
Okay. I think that McCarthy probably will be like the Speaker of the House. I think that the Republicans are obviously a legislative clown car. They even if they had a Speaker, they're not going to legislate in a way that's even close to appropriate. But I think that what McCarthy will probably end up doing is reaching out to McConnell and having some of these MAGA people whipped into line.
The problem he faces is that those people have their primary loyalty to the right-wing billionaire networks. There's several of them now, but the Koch network is the most well-known. These people have their primary loyalty to the right-wing billionaires who fund them and call the tune. And their secondary loyalty is to their own personal brands. This is something that's relatively new in politics, or at least it's relatively new that anybody can do it. I mean, it used to be that there were a few high, you know, big brand politicians, like John McCain is famous for this. You know, Lindsey Graham is another one, you know, and they would get on the big national news shows, meet the press, face the nation. They'd be there all the time. And then they could monetize their own brand, you know, where they get big speaking fees. They could sell books, you know, stuff like that. Well, now, because of the Internet and YouTube and Facebook and Twitter and everything else, any politician, if they want to be sufficiently outrageous, can build a personal brand. And you're seeing this in the Democratic Party with the Squad and AOC and folks like that. And I'm not hitting them. I'm not knocking them on, you know, for that at all. I think it's great that they're doing it and able to do it. But on the Republican side, you've also got a bunch of people who are building a personal brand that is, you know, independent of their day job, as it were. And they will leverage that if they leave Congress or if they get voted out, they'll leverage that into speaking fees and books, and they'll become talk radio hosts, or they'll become, you know, commentators on Fox or MSNBC or whatever. And so all of that radically, although those three variables radically diminish the power that people like Mitch McConnell or Kevin McCarthy or any of the folks within the institutions in Washington, D.C. would have over them.
I agree entirely. My only point is that I think that Mitch McConnell, as a current minority leader in the Senate, kind of has almost nothing to do. And I think that he'll be able to levy those votes in the House and push it through relatively quickly. Another note is I don't think that they've had multiple ballots like this in the House for either party or any party since about the 1800s of some sort.
1924 was the last time it went more than one ballot, and 1856 was the time that it went for, I think, 3 months, several months anyway, without the House.
Well, I think that the Republicans are, you know, they're always threatening, like, civil war, this, that, the other thing. They seem really gung-ho about it. And I think that their representatives that they voted in are representing them perfectly. They want that. They're gung-ho about it. And I think that they're behaving exactly how they want them to behave.
So we'll see.
Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that you've got a group of billionaires calling the tune here. Ginny Thomas signed a letter this morning saying, you know, keep voting against Kevin McCarthy. We don't like him. He's a moderate. You know, he was supporting moderate Republicans for re-election. The problem that they have is that these big money donors give to the PACs of the people who are perceived as the leaders. Mitch McConnell controls tens of millions of dollars that he passes out to senators when they're running for re-election. And they, in turn, vote to keep him being the leader of the Senate. Kevin McCarthy has been the leader of the Republicans for 4 years now in the House. And so he's got one of those giant leadership super PACs, and it's got tens of millions of dollars in it, and he's been passing out money to help people get elected. And that's one of the reasons that 90%, 95% of the Republicans in the House are so loyal to him, is because he helped them get elected, and he's been supportive of them. But you've got this small group who have, you know, their own personal brands that are so substantial that they can just ignore that whole process, that whole dynamic. So anyhow, Jesse, I got to run, but thanks for the call. It's 48 minutes past the hour. We'll be right back with more of your calls on the other side of this break. Stick around.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
We'll be right back. Stick around.
By now, you know exactly what a medical alert device is. So let's talk about what we offer. What are the best prices for medical alert devices in the country? If you're on a fixed income, call our special medical alert hotline right now. You'll qualify for free equipment and our best price starting at $1 a day. That's it. You could have your loved one or yourself protected by the largest medical emergency response network in the country. If you need a medical alert system for your mom, your dad, you, or another loved one, call right now and start 24/7 protection for about $1 a day. With no setup fees, equipment charges, or long-term contracts. You've seen the rest. Now call Stay Safe now for our best price. 800-307-0603. 800-307-0603. 800-307-0603. That's 800-307-0603.
Hey friends, Tom Hartman here to tell you about my brand new book. It's called The Tom Hartman Reader. Tom Hartman Reader is unlike any of my other books. It's a collection of my best and most revealing writings that I think you need to know. Tom Hartman Reader covers everything from my fierce commitment to Jeffersonian democracy to my steadfast opposition to the corporatization of America. Also, it more clearly identifies the root cause of so many of our social and environmental ills. The Tom Hartman Reader will give you essential information and explore solutions to questions like, how do we keep our schools from treating children like assembly line products? Why is it that attention deficit disorder is not an affliction? Or what cloudy Germany can teach us about solar energy? And much, much more. Not only will you gain vital substance on a wide range of topics in the book, but the Tom Hartman Reader will inspire you to action. It's time to educate ourselves on the world around us, why it got this way, and the corrective actions we all need to take. The Tom Hartman Reader, available in fine bookstores everywhere and on our website at tomhartman.com. Makes a great gift, too. Inspiration, insight, and action. The Tom Hartman Reader.
One goat can make the difference between nourishment and hunger. One goat can make the difference between poverty and sustained income. In the war-torn areas of southern Sudan, one goat can make the difference between life and death. Find out how you can help. Visit goatsfortheoldgoat.org. That's goats, F-O-R, theoldgoat.org. Fighting hunger, one goat at a time.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats make a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. Goats provide food, milk, and give Sudanese families the safety net to pursue education or set up a small business. They really are the gifts that keep on giving. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
If something's wrong with your computer, you reboot it. You restore it back to where it needs to be. Today, our country is headed down the wrong track, overwhelmed with joblessness, declining wages, and corporations deciding our elections, for starters. This is not the Founding Fathers' vision. It's time we rebooted something bigger than our computers. It's time we rebooted the American dream. We must restore the thriving, prosperous days we once had. And my new book, Rebooting the American Dream, explains exactly what we need to do. Bringing our jobs and manufacturing home, rolling back the Reagan tax cuts, ending corporate personhood, and educating our electorate are part of the simple 11-step plan in rebooting the American dream that we can start today to rebuild our country. Check out Rebooting the American Dream in bookstores everywhere and online at tomhartman.com. We can recover the American dream we lost 30 years ago to Reaganomics and the Reagan-Bush-Clinton-Bush era. We're all in this together. Please check out Rebooting the American Dream by yours truly, Tom Hartman, in bookstores everywhere and online at tomhartman.com.
Help support Progressive Radio. If you're listening to us on a commercial station, call their advertisers and let them know you're listening. If you're listening to us on Pacifica, one of our many nonprofit stations, please support them when they do their fundraising drives. Thanks for supporting Progressive Talk Radio and tag your it. It's 53 minutes past the hour. Picking up your calls, Corky in Rochester, New York. Hey, Corky, what's up?
Oh, Tom, I'd like to tell you my pick after I'm done with this. I was driving to Ohio listening to Rush Limbaugh's rants about, you know, minorities getting ahead because, you know, they were supposed to have so many. Well, now think about this. In 1955, I had a black doctor, and I'll give you his credit and his name. His name is Dr. Lunsford. He was here in Rochester, and he was starting up a new practice. Now, in 1955, there was no affirmative action. This guy was smart enough to cruise over the top of all the unnecessary garbage, get his degree, and save my life. Because I had the mumps go inside of me.
Mm.
You know, the mumps when you were a kid.
I remember.
Instead of your throat swelling up,
yeah,
they went in and it was swelling up all the organs in my body.
Yeah.
Well, the white doctors were just giving my mother a prescription for peanut barbital for pain. She wanted a second opinion, and he was the only black doctor in town, and he was starting a practice.
Mm-hmm.
She took me in to see him. He looked at me for about 10 minutes, he said, we're on the way to the hospital.
Wow.
This kid got the mumps when inside of another few days he'd be dead.
Yeah.
So, you know, imagine that, 1955, a doctor.
So what's
all the?
It's a marvelous story, Corky. Is there a point to it? Or
No, the point was that I just got through listening to Rush Limbaugh when his rants about minorities getting special treatment.
Uh huh.
And then I thought about that story my mother told me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I got two son-in-laws who are prejudiced, and I always remind them, you wouldn't have those two beautiful baby girls if it wasn't for a black doctor.
Oh, that's a great story. That's a great story.
Oh, that took them off.
Okay. Corky, thank you. Thanks for sharing that insight with us. John in San Francisco. Hey, John, what's up?
Hi, Tom. Happy New Year.
Thank you. We just have about a minute, though. You got a quick point?
Democratic suggestion to the House, can you repeat what you said at the beginning of the first hour about what the Republicans were about to do? It was right about 9:18, 9:17, because mine got bleeped on YouTube. And I would call up YouTube and complain about it. But if you look at the first segment, right at the end of the first segment, your voice gets bleeped. So you can't put out what the Republicans were going to do.
That's interesting.
And anyway,
I don't recall specifically what you're talking about, John, or what I was saying. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Well, check it out. Anyway, my quick suggestion is the Democrats should be going out and fishing for 20 or 30 Republicans who are in purple districts or, you know, have 2 years to show themselves as independents and register as dependents and offer them, you know, gifts or perks or whatever to caucus with the Democrats.
I agree. I agree. Yeah, I think it's time to play real hardball and do some outreach to these folks. It's not an impossible thing. It's just extremely unlikely. But, John, I think that, very, very wise suggestion. John, thank you for the call. It's great to hear from you. Thanks for watching us on YouTube. We will be right back with photojournalist Nate Gowdy. It's going to be a fascinating piece. Stick around.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Do you have an old car sitting around your house? Maybe you're even paying insurance on it. Well, if you don't need that car anymore, donate it, running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. They will even come and pick it up for free and give you a receipt for a tax donation. Breast cancer screening could save the life of someone you love. And right now, they need your help. They want to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And that's what your old car helps to pay for. So get your phone out and call right now to donate your car to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. Remember, they will come pick it up for free and give you a tax donation receipt. Call right now at 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435. That's 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Here's today's STEM tip. Don't throw out that old plastic bottle. Repurpose it by turning it into an awesome terrarium. Just fill it with sand, pebbles, soil, and your favorite plant. It'll grow sealed right in its own ecosystem. Learn more at SheCanSTEM. A message from the...
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.